When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey Coconuts, welcome back to another episode of Weekly Market Updates, where we scour the net to find worthy financial news for you. This week, FOMC is coming up tomorrow, our time. So go big or go home, right? I guess that's the question mark they're going to give us. Let's see if they do give us the basis points that we're expecting. Bit of talk there. We then learned that Porsche is going through an IPO from the 20th to the 28th of September. A bit more information there. Is it a bit of a scam? What should we look out for? Are we looking to invest in it? Last but not least, the big news in tech, Adobe buys Figma. We want to dissect all of that, see how they can synergize with the current suite, or is it a completely different play? All right, let's get to it. Hey, Coconuts, welcome back to another weekly episode with me, Rakesh.
And Anthony.
Well,
new week. Exciting week ahead.
New week, scary week.
Ah, it's not scary.
What will happen in the market? That's sort of scary week.
Yeah, I mean, look, it goes up, it goes down. That's life, right?
True. Our lives is full of ups and downs. Until the sweet release of death, right? That's what they call it. So
it's all transitory.
Wow. Early.
Yes, very early.
All right, Coconuts, we have a couple of stories for you as usual. We're going to start off with the FOMC, right? There is one FOMC coming up. Is it tomorrow?
Tomorrow.
US
time, 21st September.
21st September. We'll talk a bit about that, what we think the market could react to. We then move into a IPO, right?
All
Porsche
right.
is looking to IPO. So Porsche is owned by the Volkswagen Group, and they're looking to IPO. So a little bit of talk about that one. And last but not least, the big news that we have heard this week, we have to cover it. That's Adobe buys Figma. All right.
Let's go.
Anthony, let's go with FOMC. Tell us.
Yes, I am going to try to pretend to talk about macro today. So yeah, the FOMC's meeting is coming up tomorrow, 21st September, you know, and I guess just to recap the big macro news over the past month or two, right? Because we have kind of been studiously avoiding that topic, about a month or so back, Powell came out at Jackson Hole, gave this, you know, very hawkish speech about how inflation is the top priority, then you bring it down and the markets crashed. And last week, you know, the latest CPI and core CPI figures came out. They were higher than expected. You know, it showed that inflation was still going up. We haven't like reached the peak inflation yet, at least as of last month. And therefore, you know, the markets crashed again. So, you know, I guess everybody is kind of waiting to see what's going to happen tomorrow and how the Fed reacts.
In all fairness, Anthony, we have talked a little bit about macro. We talked about it last week. We talked about it a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Not to the level. Jefferson is around.
Yes.
So we try.
Yes. That's fair. Sorry, yes. Continue on.
Yeah, so you know, I guess this like the news is a bit scary, and you know we don't so you know tomorrow is the action, right? We have heard all the news. Now it's really time to see how the Fed will behave. You know, are they going to live up to their rhetoric and really go for the jugular and try to tame inflation, or are they still, you know, kind of wishy washy and hoping for the best, and you know, I guess trying to achieve a sort of soft landing, right? Because the more they raise interest rates, the more likely a recession is, and that's just how it works.
Absolutely right. So what are we thinking here? Rate hike we know is going to be announced. Last week we touched on what the basis points might be.
Yes. So, interestingly, I think last week we were recording just when the inflation news came out, and we're like, I was like, well, 75 basis points confirmed, 75. Right? 100 unlikely. And good news is the market seems to agree with me, right? So I think over the past...
Hey, that's a first, Anthony. That's a first.
Yeah, normally I buy it drops and I sell it goes up, right? So, you know, not too bad. I'm going to try to continue that this week. Yeah, so, you know, I think the bond markets are kind of pricing in about a 20-30% chance of a 1% hike, which is which I think hasn't happened
100 basis points.
Like, yeah, 100 basis points, which hasn't happened in like 30, 40 years, something like that. Right. It's insanely long. And, you know, the rest of it is just 75 basis points. So more likely 75, that's the base case. That's the minimum. so the third 75 basis point hike in a row, but a possible chance of 20 to 30%. The 20 to 30% chance of, you know, 100 basis point hike, according to the market.
If you notice, actually, if you remember last week, I said, hey, you know what? I think 100 could be in the factor.
But
as
it's still unlikely.
Still unlikely, but still, unlikely. Never know.
Still could happen. Still could happen. But, you know, it's like, I don't know, right? It feels a bit odd to me to go. And okay, so let me say why I think it's 75 basis points, right? Please. So, you know, the whole thesis or the whole idea, you know, and I think that this is kind of where the Fed will be thinking about as well, is that, you know, when we talk about inflation peaking and coming down, the coming down is not a straight line. It's not a roller coaster, right? It's not going to go straight down. There's going to be small periods of up, and there'll be, you know, bigger down, and you're just, it's essentially a process that takes time, right? So, you know, just because there was one data point in the last month that showed a slight increase, it doesn't necessarily mean
slight.
That
are you
much.
Sure?
Yeah, slight. It was slight. Core CPI was slight, right? Month on month. Because year on year is ridiculous. Like, why are we looking at year on year figures? We are looking at the price this month compared to last month, right? So, and month on month was like 0.3% or something like that. So it's slight. At the end of the day, you know, what the Fed likes to look at, it's not CPI or even core CPI. It's this thing called core PCE. So it's personal consumption expenditure. It's a slightly different measure that comes out at the end of this month, right? And that has tended to be lower than CPI figures. And if that still shows negative, then, you know, that it is still a sign, at least to the Fed, based on their preferred measure, that the CPI is coming down. So if that's the case, you know, why jump the gun now and raise 100 basis points now? You can raise 75, you know, keep it as you have signaled. And if in a week and a half's time, we see that, oh, actually PCE has gone way up, it's time to tighten more. The next hike in November will be 100 basis points.
So you're saying they're erring on the side of caution in this sense, because the PCE numbers could not be positive.
Yeah, and well, 75 basis points is still a very big hike. You know, and this is the third consecutive time we're doing it. So it's by all measures already an aggressive move. It's just whether they are going to be more aggressive.
Got it. I think 75 was something that we did speak about. I think we saw the Australian Reserve Bank also raised it by 75 basis points.
Yeah.
I think last month or 2 months ago, right? I don't know the exact date. So I do see that happening. The only question here is, do they say I go a bit more aggressive now, see the PCE numbers end of this month, and then don't do such a high raise on the next one, for example?
Yep.
That could be a scenario that it could be playing out as well, right?
Yeah, but I guess that's just a bit more unlikely, because the PCE figures will be for August, right? So what's done is done. You know, it's just a matter of getting the correct information calculated and released. So you might as well wait for the better and cleaner data point that you actually use to make decisions than to just jump the gun. And I mean, think about it, right? You go 100 basis points now, and actually in 10 days time, your PCE comes out to be like -1% or -0.5% month on month. That's not a good look on anybody. You know, because and this Fed has made a very big point about being data driven, you know, being flexible, looking at the data before making their decisions. So I think it would still be quite surprising if they went for that 100 basis point hike. Of course, if it's still rising when PCE comes out, then that's going to be painful in November when we will inevitably talk about this again. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. I guess that's where I'm coming from as well. So I see your point. I understand it. I think that's probably the right thing to do. But, you know, you never know with these Feds.
Yeah.
And I think you never really know. And Powell gave his usual speech, isn't it? Tell us a bit how he spoke.
No. So I think that's the next part of what will happen tomorrow, right? So I think at about 12:30, 12:45, they'll actually announced how much they're hiking by. About 2 hours so later, so 2:30 p.m. 2:45, Powell will come and give a speech about why they've decided, how they've decided, and how they see the markets go looking forward. Sorry, not markets, the economic outlook, right? So inflation and GDP and employment look going forward. And, you know, along with that release, they'll also release this thing called the dot plot, which is essentially a measure of how all the various Fed chairs are thinking about interest rate hikes over the next few years, right? Or what the interest rate will be, and also other economic information over the next few years. So I think, you know, as compared to maybe, let's say, the July meeting, this has a lot more information provided in it. So there will be a lot more movement.
Got it. I think I also think actually it's 75 basis points, right? Of course, I'm pulling your leg and making a bit of fun with 100 basis points or 1%. I do believe it's 75%. I think one of the factors is this, but again, I don't know if this is a factor they look at, which is the exchange rate. US dollar has been on the rise for a fair bit. And if they increase interest rates faster, in this case, the 100 basis points, it's going to increase the US dollar even more, right? Yep. And that's the last thing that they want technically as well, I feel. They still want to remain. And,
but I guess that's where it kind of gets very tricky, right? Because the more they increase interest rates, the more they strengthen the US dollar, the more they impact earnings. So because if Microsoft, for example, with lots of foreign denominated earnings, your next earnings is going to take a hit, right? And the more that you stress actually the global economy, because you look at the yen, right? It's just going down. You look at your emerging market debt crisis and all of that. What's going to happen there, right? I think that the question is whether the Fed actually considers all these global factors when they make their decision, or whether it's a purely US-centric monetary policy. I just want to bring US inflation down. I don't really care about the rest. Right, maybe. I think Jefferson used to kind of think that they have a more global view of the world. So we shall see.
But that's, I think, a
consideration.
Because, and I think they have a bit more global feel of the world. And this, again, honestly, it's speculation, right? But the reason I feel that is because these US companies are global. So it will affect everything. So indirectly, it's going to affect the local market as well.
Yeah, but that's the whole point of demand destruction and bringing down. I mean, one of the Fed chairs came out after Jackson Hole and said, we did not like, they didn't say that they were delighted, but they said we did not like seeing equity markets go up after we made our announcement. No, that's just wrong. That's not what we wanted to achieve. We are supposed to go down, you know? So I think the market's going down is the desired response, right? And a strengthening US dollar isn't against that conclusion as well.
Fair. I think we will only know more tomorrow.
Yes.
I'm definitely exciting. Eager to find out what's going to happen there.
Eager to find out how wrong I am again.
or right. You never know, man.
Never know, right? If I keep getting right, I'll just keep making more and more predictions, right? And then one day I'll get it right.
Yes. Your predictions, I think if you get it right, I think you should keep going. Open up a new business, call it fortune telling for stocks. All right, Anthony.
I'll go and learn some. I'll learn to draw some lines on charts as well, so I can actually pretend that it's scientific and make proper predictions.
awesome. So, all right, for a second story, we're talking a little bit more on Porsche IPO. All right, a bit lighter here. I think we've talked a lot on FOMC. A bit heavy, right, for our first story, but a bit of exciting news, I think. So starting today, right, today itself, 20th September until the 28th of September, Porsche is going IPO. Or rather, that's what Volkswagen is saying. Yep. They're aiming to raise 9.4 billion. So not all of it. I think it's 20-something percent of shares that is going to be IPO'd. But they're looking to raise as much as 9.4 billion, which is making the sports car Porsche valued at somewhere around $78 billion or $80 billion. Okay. That's for me. Okay.
Is that high?
I'm going to give you some comparisons, right? So its competitors. All right, Anthony, who do you think the Porsche competitors are? I mean, you have a Porsche at home, so tell me.
No, I don't. it's a German car, but no, not a Porsche. I don't know, actually, because they're kind of niche. They're not a Lambo or a Ferrari, right? But then again, neither are they a Ford or even a Volkswagen. Mm. Yeah. I think Porsche is just one of those nice mid trainings. But tell me, is it more expensive than Rivian actually?
Oh, wow. That's a very good question. We should check the valuation for Rivian as we do this. But to put into perspective, right, Ferrari is valued at $30 billion. BMW is valued at $50 billion. Volkswagen is valued at $80 billion. And they, by the way, they own Porsche, right?
Yeah.
And Mercedes is valued at somewhere around $41 billion. So Porsche...
Rivian is at $35
billion. $35 billion. Okay, but Rivian's still up and coming, lah.
Well, so, I mean, they were at $100 billion, so, you know.
Okay, true. But hear this, right? From this IPO, in this climate, they're expecting Porsche to be valued at $78 billion. That's more... That's almost the same valuation as Volkswagen.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's insane. I feel that's insane. Was it you, Anthony, that has a rule that you don't buy IPOs? Was it you?
Oh, no, that's Reggie.
Reggie has that rule because it's overvalued and they price it wrong and all of these things.
Yeah, and you need to like become a public company and work hard to become a public company, that sort of thing.
Yeah. So that's Reggie, I think you might be right on this one. So for me, that's a really big question mark, right? Because Volkswagen is now at $80 billion, right? It's risen a little bit since this news and all of this thing, but not by much. So $80 billion, but they're aiming to have Porsche at $78 billion.
Maybe Volkswagen is just undervalued, right? They were not giving proper value to the Porsche brand and all the EVs and all of that. I mean, that's possible, right? It's not saying that 80 is fair value now and everything else is not.
No, I mean, yeah, okay, you're pulling my leg here, right? Okay. Because, I mean, when you look at the other competitors, your Mercedes, your BMWs, you know, yeah. To a certain extent, you could say they're not direct competitors because Porsche is a bit more luxury, but they also, you know, focus on family. But they are four-seater Porsche. Was it? Yeah. Cayman or... No, Cayman is not. Well, anyway, there's a few, right? See, I don't even know
this. This is why you buy crypto. Then you'll know all the things. That's what you can buy.
So I think for me is a bit of a question mark. Now, the other thing is this. When they IPO, they're actually only going to list 25%. Of the company, but it's going to be in preferred shares.
Okay.
Right. So it's not ordinary shares, which effectively means, so if you get preferred shares, which means you don't have voting rights. So you're in it for the ride, right? To use the car metaphor in this one.
Okay.
So they have little say with how it's going to go. It's effectively just to get some dividends, get some, hopefully valuation going up.
Yeah. I mean, this sounds more and more like, you know, Volkswagen trying to spin out and get some return and some cash. rather than listing Porsche as a viable investment vehicle, right? It's like it's just going Volkswagen going, you know what, I think I'm undervalued, I have this strong brand which is really recognizable, let me just list it and spin out and get cash and return it to the shareholders, right? To Volkswagen shareholders and Volkswagen, maybe fleece some retail investors along the way. Yeah, I mean, what? They are maintaining majority control, right? Even without this, you know, preferred shares thing, they are
still 75%
shareholder, you know. Then preferred share thing just kind of makes them a different share class and being able to vote anyway. So,
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Yeah, this is a spin-off.
Exactly. So, I personally would be like, whoa, what's going on here? Is there a liquidity issue that Volkswagen is having, or they want to increase the stock price via the dividend play? Like, exactly. You know what? Yeah, what are they trying to do here? The funny thing is they said they have a commitment of around this already over the next 9 days. Qatar Investment Authority is investing into this, but then again, they also own Volkswagen. So they own they're like the third largest shareholder of Volkswagen. So for them, money... You know, from left hand to right hand, lah.
Yes.
together with a few other wealth funds that are looking to purchase it, right? So I think it's a little bit of news just to alert coconuts out there. Yes, it might sound flashy. Yes, it might sound great, but look deeper and see whether you actually find this a good investment vehicle or not. I don't think so. What are your thoughts here, Anthony?
I don't know. I think, yeah, well, car manufacturers just haven't been the best. I mean, short of Tesla, right? Everybody just hasn't been the best investment, whether it's Merz or BM or even Ferrari, right? Performance just hasn't been that great. So yeah, it's you know, I think a wait and see. Like, I think Volkswagen just sounds a lot more attractive than Porsche, just because you're the holding company. You know, you can try to capture that whole shift to EV, right? I mean, if Porsche needs money to become an electric vehicle company, who are they going to call, right? They're going to get money from the shareholders anyway. So yeah, it just doesn't make much sense to me to buy a Porsche. You'd rather buy a car and burn that money anyway. At least you kind of feel flash driving it.
More benefit buying a depreciating asset
than to buy shares. Right? It's terrible. Yeah. Like, we shouldn't say things like that. They're just bad financial planning.
Luckily, we are not a financial advice company. You know,
then we would buy Porsche. Then because we need to show that they're successful, right?
Yeah. Oh, true. No. Anyways, yeah.
Not us.
That's not us. No. We keep it real, guys. Just to let you know. All right. I think that's just a quick, nice filler and our second story for Porsche IPO. Love to see how it is actually in the next few months, see how that goes. I could be completely wrong here, you know. As for some reason, maybe it goes up to 100 million or it goes up to maybe, 120
maybe,
million.
Maybe, but I think this is a very safe prediction. It will not go anywhere.
Awesome. Okay, for our third story. Ooh, what is Figma, Anthony? What is Figma?
I think you should be the one telling me, right? You're the one with all these, like, you know, small private tech companies to be the next Facebook or Amazon.
No. Figma.
Yeah, Figma, Canva, you know, Motion, all these things that I don't know anything about. But yeah, but Adobe, I know, right? You know, Photoshop and PDF.
Photoshop and PDF. That's how you know Adobe. Very good.
My most used app is Microsoft Word, okay? that's how bad it is.
Okay.
And Teams, but yes. So, you know, I think Adobe had earnings last week. That was okay. It wasn't anything flashy, but I think the bigger news that came out of it was that they announced they would be acquiring Figma. And Figma, it's kind of like a design company. It's a design tool, right, in a sense. And I think the difference between that and something like, let's say, Photoshop or any of the other tools that Adobe has for you to kind of make things and create things is really just that Figma is, you know, collaborative, and it's designed from in that sense to be collaborative, whereas Photoshop is like you clicking on your laptop. So yeah, they announced to purchase Figma, which is seen as their competitor. And once they announced that acquisition, $20 billion worth, that the share price just dropped, right? It dropped like 20%. And I think from pre-announcement until now, it's what, 30% down? And Adobe isn't a small company, right? It's like 180 billion market cap, way more than Porsche and Volkswagen. And now it's 130. So nearly Porsche and Volkswagen. So yeah, it's just... If you're an Adobe shareholder, it's just been a crazy ride, you know. You thought the company was doing okay, earnings were okay, and they announced the acquisition and just tanked.
Yeah. Where do you see this acquisition going? Like, why do you think they got this?
I mean, I think, you know, it's really a strategic acquisition, right? And that, I mean, look at the deal valuation. It's kind of crazy. But it's $20 billion, but just based on Figma's last earnings, I mean, it's private, so it's all kind of, you know, neither here nor there, but what was announced at least was, but they had $400 million in annual recurring revenue, so it's a 50 times multiple, right?
Oh my word.
like we talked about Amplitude listing at 30 price to sales, and we went, this is mad, and that was in 2021, like
when everything was up,
time machine.
When everything was up, exactly.
Everything was up, right? That's have a time machine. Are they stuck in the, like, September 2021? You know, 50 times AR, and you're buying it in this market condition. Like, come on, you know. And the last fundraise that Figma did was June 2021 at 10 okay. billion, right? So,
wow.
So this, I think that was Series D or Series E investors, really late stage, doubled their money in a year, right? And but you can kind of see why, right? Like Adobe just saw this as maybe an existential threat, right? And that's why it's such a strategic and that's why you overpaid, you know, to get it. Because if you don't, your company might not exist, you know, 10, 15 years down the line. Or if Figma gets acquired by like Microsoft, right? Then Adobe is just not going to exist. You know, all the tooling, and the distribution is sorted out, you know, like they're just not going to win. So I think that's the thinking behind it, really. It's just to take out a competitor, prevent other competitors from buying it out. And you know, if you overpay for it, so be it. Better than dying.
Yeah. I think more than that, I completely agree. I think it's a strategic investment. I think there are uses within the Adobe ecosystem, right?
Yep.
For example, if you look at the Photoshop suite, right? You've got InDesign, mm-hmm. Photoshop, Fireworks, and stuff like this. Effectively, this tool is meant for a design. And most of the time, they use this for either websites or app flows or anything like that.
Yep.
And they could use that. Couple that within the Photoshop ecosystem. So you can design something in Photoshop, copy paste it back on Figma, and then continue on to the next slide. So I do see some sort of synergy there. At the same time, I do see a little bit of synergy here, because if you're building out websites on Figma, you can actually use that to the Adobe CMS provider. Again, they build out these integrations and all of that, right? So I'm looking far ahead. So I do see that as a potential use case. And whether that's going to increase their retention, obviously I won't know this, right? Their management and their retention team would know that one. Whether that is the angle that they're looking at, or like you said, before somebody else buys it, I go and buy it, kind of like the Facebook buying Instagram sort of feel.
Yeah, but wouldn't they be able to build something like that at less than $20 billion? Right? Or shouldn't they have been trying to build something like that already?
Yeah.
Right? Why?
Agreed.
Like, why? And Adobe obviously has a user base, right? So it's not customer acquisition. No,
it's
they
not.
Could probably pay for the talent. So, you know, why the? I think that, that's the part that's kind of perplexing to me, right? Like, you can think the strategy is obviously synergistic. It all makes sense. It expands your product suite. You know, but why buy when you could build it yourself? Oh, why? And I guess a more insulting question is, why have you not been building it yourself, or why you have been building it yourself and failing?
Yeah. And there are a lot, right? In all fairness, there are a lot of other companies out there that's doing this, right? So Canva, a lot of companies use Canva instead of Figma.
Yep.
There's also InVision. I don't know if you've heard of that. Mm-hmm. That's effectively an app or a web tool. Also,
I told you this was your story, right? It's all these like, you know, small private tech companies that nobody uses and hears about.
Hey, startup companies use it, all right? Just like how startup companies use Figma. So exactly. So I think for me, the question is, why did you overpay? I don't know why. Obviously, we won't know why. We just got to wait and find out and see whether this will pay off, right? Just like how when Facebook bought Instagram, we're like, what the hell? $1 billion for that? And then 10 years down the line, they're laughing, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they have some vision we can't see.
And I think that's the bull case, right? If you are over and a Adobe shareholder and you're still holding it now, you know, that's kind of the bull case that essentially, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, with the rise of Figma and Canva and all these other tools, Adobe itself was getting disrupted, right? And they couldn't seem to be, I think they just had a slightly different go-to-market strategy. They just couldn't seem to be building out the features and the tool set fast enough to meet whatever was disrupting them. So, you know, if you overpay and you buy this and you make this the linchpin of your strategy going forward, right, you have essentially reinvented the company, and you know they have done this before. The management has done this before with, I think, Macromedia back in the 2010s. Although they eventually discontinued that, but you know that I think that is really the bull case here. That instead of getting disrupted, they buy the biggest disruptor, and they become, you know, the big disruptor again, disrupting themselves, right? And in that case, you know, either way they win. Right. I think the difficulty is, you know, I think as you've kind of seen, Figma is it really starts from the individuals, right? It starts from the small startups, it starts from the small creators. And then, you know, it's kind of like the Zoom model previously where you just infiltrate an organization and then you expand and expand, right? And that's a very different sales strategy from Adobe. So, you know, how would these two companies sell together? Are they going to be are they going to be competitors when selling and pitching? And I think that's like integration isn't going to be easy, especially if they're going to keep Figma relatively independent, right? Like, how's it going to work? So it's a lot of open-ended. Yeah, this is a very open-ended story, but I think, you know,
it is.
You need to squint really hard to see this working out really, really well for Adobe in even 5 years' time, right? Because as of now, Figma is what, 3-4% of their entire revenue?
Yeah.
Adobe has 16 billion revenue or something like that. So yeah, it's negligible in the scale of Adobe. How quickly are they going to scale it up? You know, can they even scale it up that quickly to make this a tentpole that they kind of wrap around going forward for the next decade? I think that's really the big question.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I was also thinking like, hey, you know what? Does Figma have certain like IP or certain thing, anything like that in the system? I don't believe so. Coconuts, if you know more about this than we do, love to find out from you, right? If they do. But I don't think you're not buying it for any sort of IP. So
yeah, I think you buy it for the architecture, right? It's like, you know, it's just a very different way of, you know, writing and creating the software to work. Mm. It's like working collaboratively in Google Docs versus Microsoft Word. Like Microsoft Word tries to do it, you know, but yeah and I know this because we do try to do it. but compared
fail
to Google Docs.
Yeah.
But yeah, and fail. And we lost 2 hours of work and we were really upset.
My God.
But yeah, and this was at 11:30 PM and we were calling each other like, where were the changes you made? What changes do you make? And I said, oh shit, we lost like 2 hours of work at 11:30 PM. But that's the thing, right? If you are legacy and you need to, and that the whole marketplace shows a new way of working and you cannot retool your current solutions to meet that new way of working because it's difficult, you know, you make design choices right at the very beginning and all that, then yeah, the easiest way to do it is just to acquire. Or to set up a completely new product line and treat it as like innovation. And I'm sure they tried that but failed, which is why they're acquiring.
Yeah, could be. Unless they think they could be the next Canva, right? Because I think Canva's valuation is somewhere around $40 billion or something like this. So in that respect.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Actually, it's a steal.
Yeah, it is. I thought Figma was bigger than Canva, though. No? I don't actually know.
Don't think so.
Yeah, but yeah, Canva last valued at $40 billion.
Yeah.
Which is also insane.
Yeah. So yeah, I think that's good to know. I think I want to see how this plays out over the next year, right? I'm not going to say next 2-3 months like we did with the FOMC or a Porsche. I want to see how this plays out over the next year, 2 years. Let's see how they're looking to integrate it. Is it a cobbled approach or are they doing something new? Maybe starting a new division?
I'm interested in the next 2-3 months just to see whether, you know, the authorities come in and say this is anti-competitive and block it. Because Adobe Creative Cloud is pretty much a monopoly, right? And you're buying a second or third largest competitor that is kind of the definition of anti-competitive conduct. So, you know, but of course, the FTC loves big tech. They don't really think of Adobe as big tech. So maybe nothing will happen. Yeah. But yeah, at first blush, this looks slightly odd to just get waved through without, you know, much more questioning.
Yeah. Yeah,
but yeah, that's the legal side of me talking.
Perfect. Awesome. That's a good one. You know, actually, what we haven't talked about in a while, and maybe we should think about it once we get a bit more news, Twitter and Tesla, or Twitter and Elon. You notice, his name has not been appearing in our market updates for a few weeks now.
I've been avoiding that. I mean, if I'm happy to talk about Elon Musk and the lawsuit every week, but I don't know if people are, like, want to listen to it. like he's just getting his ass handed to him, by the way. Elon Musk is not doing very well in his lawsuit.
He is. Oh my god. Anyways, that one we can save up for we'll get a bit more scoop and then we'll inform you guys about what's going on there.
Yeah. And the trial's in 3 weeks, so you know, I'm sure we'll cover it within the next month or so.
Yes. Awesome. Well, thanks again, Coconuts, for listening in. Hope you learn a thing or two as usual, and we will see you next week. Bye.
All right. See you guys. Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode with me, Rakesh, and trust that you learned something today. If you enjoyed the session and want to be part of the banter, join our community Telegram group or follow us on social media. We also have a weekly newsletter to get a digest of the news we covered. To sign up, please click the description below. As always, we love your feedback, so share that with us at hello@thefinancialcoconut.com. Thanks, and stay safe.